judging by the sound of the irregular rhythms. That sounds like us. Okay, here I am. Are you there?
I believe I am.
Cool.
No matter where you go, you're always there.
Mostly.
Mostly.
Mostly. Yep. Yep, mostly. So, I don't know. I'm trying to get this all figured out. I should have this dialed in, you know. You know, it's only been 35 years. You got to give me time to work this stuff out.
It's like a wine. It gets better with time, theoretically.
I wish that was true. You know, I did the call in to the radio show this morning, and one of the things about it was, you know, it's surprising how similar creatures are, fish and humans and all that. And with the cold, rainy weather this morning, for some reason I just had this image of a tavern I used to hang out in up north. And, you know, it's got the big wood bar, pool table, pinball machines, had some booths out there where you could sit. And we'd go there, have a couple of beers, and, you know, eat big bowls of chili and all that kind of stuff. And I was thinking about that, and then I was thinking about, you know, we've been getting this rain down here in the colder weather, and it's going to take several days for the water to cool down. But just this little bit of a push in this week of cold, crappie are going to bunch up, sheephead are going to bunch up, they're all looking for other aspects, and then you've got tarpon and snook, which are going to run up and bunch up. But for a different reason. One's doing it for food, and the other one's doing it for fornication, I guess, you know.
Right.
And this is, in when you live as far south as we do, you've got up north the fish all generate in the springtime. As soon as they feel at warmer temperatures, they want to get together, you know, spawn, you know, make the babies so that their fry can be big enough to survive the winter.
Right.
But down here, once you get south of I-4, as much as we are, it's the opposite. As soon as they feel the cold, then they start bunching up because they know by the time the fry hatch, the cold will be over. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, and most of the species, absolutely. You know, with the exception of the snook and the tarpon.
Well, the snook and the tarpon, they sense this fresh water, and what that means to them is head to the dams and the spillways for festival food.
Right. Build up their fat reserves for the wintertime.
Well, I think it's just easy food. You know, snook love to just lay around and eat, and the tarpon we're talking about are anywhere from a foot to 3 or 4 feet.
Right.
I'm not talking about the big 180-pounders. We're talking about the same ones you would catch on your snook rod.
Right.
You know, you'll catch a tarpon, you'll catch a snook, you'll catch them on the same lures. Traditionally, white paddle tails are one of the best.
Mm-hmm.
Chartreuse head, redhead, I don't know, does it really make a difference?
Not to me. Some guys swear by it, but not for me.
I think, you know, if you like the red jig head, I would go with a red jig head. If you like a, you know, yellow or a chartreuse or, you know.
See, my favorite is just an unpainted.
Yeah, or an unpainted. Whatever one makes you feel better, but it's that white shad body with the paddle tail on it, and traditionally it's a DOA cal shad that does the best.
Mm-hmm.
That one just smokes the competition. But if you don't want to have to rig it up and you're not familiar with rigging it up, that little 3-inch storm swim shad, the white and clear one there, that would be the second best choice.
Right.
And you don't have to do any work. You don't have to put it together, and they're like a dollar something a piece. There's three of them in a bag or in a package for less than $4.
We had a couple guys last year that were buying those 360 GTs. And they were pretty happy with those, and they come with that one jig head in them.
That would be one I hadn't thought about, but that would be a good one, that 360 GT, that search bait.
Yeah.
Yeah, the white ones, not the biggest long ones, but the middle size.
Yeah, a couple guys bought those last year and were fishing those at the spill dams.
I can honestly say that would probably be a pretty good idea. Never gave it a thought because I guess I'm getting traditionalized, old, set in my ways. You know, these are what I've used.
Yeah, but that being said, you know, everyone's always looking for that newest thing, but a lot of times the old, great, tried and true still works. So why go away from it? You know, how many of our older lures that have been around since your father was a kid that still work?
Right.
You know, and, but people always, oh no, I got to have that fancier one or that fancier package.
A lot of times just the fancier package.
Right.
And we're seeing the industry really change in over time, and we're going through a big change. When Walmart came out, the tackle industry did a huge change. And then we had the internet came out, and the internet changed everything again. But I think the big change that's going on right now is not between about a retailer or anything like that, or, you know, online sales or, you know, store sales. It's about distributors and chain stores wanting their own brand.
Right.
Because they can make up the rods and reels or the lures or whatever it is in-house label and not have to pay a big national chain or a small company for the lures. They just copy them, change them a little bit, and sell them under their own label so they're not paying an extra percentage to anybody.
Right. Cutting out the middleman.
Well, just cutting out the first man.
Yeah.
And yeah, the first and the middle, they become the manufacturer, the distributor, the wholesaler, and the retailer. They're all in one at this point.
Right.
Where normally you have a manufacturer, then a distributor, and then you have the retailer, then you have the consumer. Now it's just the retailer, wholesaler, manufacturer all in one to the consumer, trying to make a little extra money that way. But we're watching a lot of companies go under because of this. And we're going to see a lot more go under in the next few years because every time the, you know, Bass Pro or Walmart or even the people who supply tackle stores with their stuff, they want their own house label stuff. They want to make all the money and right. give any to anybody else.
Yeah, it's definitely changing it big time.
And so, you know, just kind of one of those weird thoughts. It's a little boring process. I'm already bored with this discussion, but... You know, it's one of those things where we're seeing some major changes and wondering what the future of the tackle industry is going to look like. And we've discussed this with some of the manufacturers and saying, okay, there's going to be this, this, and this, and this left. That's about it.
Right.
You're not going to see all this other stuff. Anybody who's not of these three or four groups, literally, you're going to be an online sales thing. You're going to have to put a lot of money into YouTube stuff and get people watching YouTube videos and, you know, being, you know, you're going to have to be internet marketing because yeah. that's the only place you're going to be able to sell the stuff.
True.
So, anyway, fishing report.
Well, we got our first real significant cold front going on. So, you know, we're going to see a lot of cool changes going on, like up the river.
That was literally amazing to walk out this morning, and normally I get up in the middle of the night, and it's like 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm out on the porch having a smoke and, you know, something to drink, and man, it was cold.
Yeah.
Went to bed, it was warm.
Yeah.
Woke up, it was cold.
Yep.
I was shivering my patooties off there.
Yeah, I walked outside at midnight, and I went, all right, there's the temperature change. It was kind of nice.
Because they were originally saying it wasn't coming all the way down to us.
Right.
And this is just the first one. And there's another one behind this.
Yeah, Monday night, that one's supposed to really hit good, too.
But if you're listening up north, out on
the camps, they're playing in the snow right now because that's the one that just hit us is the one that gave them a bunch of snow the other day.
But call and check hotels. You might be able to get some really good deals on some stuff in Southwest Florida. From Tampa down to Naples, Marco Island, it was not the season most people expected. And so people are a little hungry for business. call down, see about a hotel, whatever, if you just want to pop down for a few days, get out of the cold and the snow. And because the snow is good and the not snow is good, but when you got drizzly rain and snow and then it's, you know, back and forth, that gets a little disconcerting. So if you want to come down, spend a few days, we're supposed to be in the 70s, 80s every day, and nighttime's in the, you know, 50s and 60s. So not all bad.
No.
This might be a great time. And like call the hotels in Port Charlotte, see what kind of deals they're doing. Because they were like half price here a week ago.
Yeah, that surprised
Literally
me.
Half price. That's
pretty impressive.
So nice. It might be a nice time to just do a weekend trip or come down for, I would, if it was me, try to come down for a Tuesday and a Wednesday or a Monday through Thursday and, you know, be home for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, because there's a lot of people getting out right now.
Yeah. Yep.
But Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, still a lot of room out there, not a lot of boats, nice, be a bit breezy, but always a place to hide from the breeze.
Oh, yes.
I think what we need to do is get together and talk about some land-based spots. We're going to have to go around and figure out where some people are catching fish. We'll do a separate broadcast about that. But all right, Peace River, what's going on up there?
The snook have been moving around pretty good up there from Harbor Heights up to the Navigator. Starting to get more and more steady reports on them. And then the juvenile tarpon along with the snook going up towards Shell Creek, especially around the trestle. And that straightaway just before the trestle, been doing fair on them. A couple guys got into some bigger gar while fishing for the snook. And then a guy caught several tilapia fishing from the trestle up to the dam on Shell Creek. And he was just having a field day with that because he's always tried for them and could never get them, but he actually got, I think he said three or four, and two were on beetle spins. He got wrecked by a snook on his beetle spin. he was so excited about that, he wasn't sure which way to go with the excitement on his tilapia or the snook beating him up. You know, it's always fun when they get excited about getting wrecked by a fish.
Well, when you're throwing a beetle spin, you just, you know, you're not thinking snook.
No.
You know, it's just not part of your thought process. And then when one whacks it, you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of funny because, I mean, you know, if you're throwing it in the salt water, you expect maybe a mangrove snapper or ladyfish, something like that. And then a snook comes up and hits you. It's like, yep, didn't. I should have saw that one coming, but I didn't.
Yeah. I should have, you know. Because everything eats a beetle spin. I mean...
Well, that's where you got the idea, was from you.
Really?
Yeah. He said he heard you talking about it on one of the programs about fishing beetle spins for the Mayan cichlids and some of the tilapia and stuff, so he decided to try it because he crappie fished all the time up north, so he's been trying it off and on again. He lives somewhere there by Shell Creek. He's got a friend that he's allowed to fish in their backyard. So
cool.
He was pretty excited about it.
I got one right.
Yeah.
I always like it when that happens.
He missed you by about an hour the other day. I forgot to tell you about it.
Yeah. But,
no, it was kind
of enjoyed the couple from Cape Coral today.
Oh, yeah. They were a riot.
Yeah. I was lucky enough that when they came in the very first time and they were looking at some stuff, I was lucky enough to have time and I was able to spend some time with them and, you know, got them their comfort rods and made sure that everything was all squared away and just nice. And they, I mean, you know, Friday night, date night, they go down to the bridge and go fishing.
That's awesome.
It's really cool. They're really nice folks.
Yes, they are.
And they drive all the way up from Cape Coral. I really enjoyed talking to them. Okay, Darst, I-75.
A few black drum have been over there, but there's been a lot of small snook and some juvenile tarpon first thing in the morning and in the evening. But just up from the 75 bridge and within that first few hundred yards, there's been some schools of small ladyfish along with a couple of bigger tarpon mixed in with those little ladyfish blowing up on them, like the 60 to 100 pound range. And that was two different reports this past week up there with those bigger tarpon, slightly bigger tarpon. So it was pretty interesting. The only thing I didn't hear about was any redfish. Nothing at all anywhere up there.
Huh. Oh, well.
Yeah, it's all good.
Can't have everything. Nope. But what we got is pretty good.
Very good.
Actually pretty excited about that. 99. Okay, yeah, I even got the date right and everything.
Hey,
and really this week is green color, 11-9. All right, 41 bridge.
Let's see, you got Snook, both early mornings all through the night and evening. There's been some Spanish mackerel popping through there here and there. Black drum, a couple of small trout. Had one guy catch a couple sheep's head there, actually, off the new park there. What else did he get? He saw some juvenile tarpon roll, but never hooked anything. And I think that's about it that I've heard of over there. But the Spanish haven't been real big and abundant, but they are at least there and fishable, and they are legal size, you know, in that 12 to 14 inch range.
All right, Lashley Pier.
Just a couple of snook and some mangrove snapper. But, you know, it's, the water is really, really clear there. A guy said he saw several snook swimming along the shoreline, along the seawall there, but he couldn't get them to cooperate at all. I said, well, they see you. You're sitting up 8-10 feet above them, standing on top of that seawall.
It's that one fish where if they see you, they're not going to bite. Yep. They ain't going to run. They ain't going to do anything, include bite. They just going to kind of hang out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Those fish are tricky when they see you.
All right. Bay Shore Pier.
I got zero report.
Yeah, I wonder what's...
I think people are apprehensive because of the construction going on down there, that they just kind of bypassing it a little bit.
That big high-rise thing going in down at the end down there, and they're not sure how to get there and all
that.
Yeah.
Plus, they've been doing so well at the new park and that new catwalk down at the north end of the bridge. I think that's why I think they're concentrating a little bit more effort there. So,
every day I go by, I drive over the bridge. It reminds me of when I lived up in Fort Walton Beach. I would drive from Fort Walton Beach over to Destin, you know, going across a bridge and look at the water and just really enjoy it. Now, I go from... because I do a lot of business with the Ace Hardware right downtown Punta Gorda.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one of the last real hardware stores we have. It's not like the other ones who are trying to be mini Walmarts. It's a real hardware store. And when I'm coming back over the bridge, I always look down on the pier there and see what's going on. And it was kind of cool. There's almost always somebody fishing on that.
Yeah, a lot of families have been utilizing it too, which makes me even happier. Okay. I like seeing that.
All right. Well, Port Charlotte canals.
Oh, there's quite a bit going on in there. There's the snook are starting to get a little bit more abundant there. A lot of juvenile tarpon scattered throughout all the canals, especially east and west Spring Lake. Black drum haven't been showing themselves, but people have been catching them, just casting out fishing along the bottom and next to their docks.
The drum?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Christina caught a giant one last Monday.
Really?
Like a true 60-pounder. Took one of those blue crabs. Yeah. Put that out there. The clams keep getting beat up by mangrove snapper. But she had a blue crab on one and threw it out there and let it sit. And it was all day long pretty... I put it really close to 60 pounds. It was a big, big fish.
Very cool.
Some mangrove snapper also throughout the holes, those canals. But I'm still getting some mixed reports of sand bream. So even though the salinity's gone up and the water's getting really clear back there, I'm still getting customers telling me about the sand bream they're catching.
And it's funny because we started talking about a while back letting people know that you can actually catch these fish and that they're really some of the best eating out there. And people are actually starting to target them. They're actually going over there and going, okay, yeah, I can get these. And,
yeah.
You know, this is a wonderful meal.
Yeah.
You know, it's the closest thing to saltwater crappie we have. And they're peeled shrimp meat, little number six hook. And I usually try and be about 6 to 8 inches off the bottom working with a bobber. And it sounds like a lot, but the water around most of the seawalls is only 2 to 4 foot deep tops.
Right.
So you can kind of figure out where your depth is. But let's move over to El Jobin Pier. the Ojibwe Pier.
Well, prefrontal conditions last night. A couple guys went out there and got freight trained by some snook and a couple of tarpon. They were in here this morning talking about it. No, it's over at Circle K, I was telling them. They were saying that they just had a field day. They caught like 12 snook total. They hooked 2 tarpon. They got broke off by 3 more fish. You know, they had a good time. But there has been study reports of the snook there. I've gotten a couple reports of sheep's head this week. Only a couple. But I have no doubt that they're going to start to turn on a little bit more. It's kind of hard to beat a cold front, full moon, and a shorter photo period that just gets them super excited. Even if the water temperature is not perfect, they got all the other stuff going for them that gets them riled up.
Cool.
Yeah, a lot of jacks over there also. They've been moving in and out because there's so much small bait fish all through there that the jacks have been moving through pretty regularly.
All right. Mock River area itself, the surrounding area.
Spanish mackerel, a couple of small cobia. One guy got a nice black-tipped shark. And then the snook and a few redfish up there moving into Tippecanoe and the north end of the Myakka Cutoff. I haven't heard anything about the south end of the cutoff, but been hearing about that north end a little bit more.
Okay, South Gulf Cove.
Some snook doing a little bit better, but the bass fishing in some of those way back canals have been doing pretty well. A lot of guys buying shiners and going in there and also buying that, what's that, the Chapo?
Yeah.
That top water bait. We've sold quite a few this week. One guy bought 3 of them because his neighbor wanted one because he got outfished so bad by them. He was at that fishing club, at the Inglewood Fishing Club meeting, whatever, a month or two ago that you were at.
Yeah.
So he had bought one, and he smoked his buddy, so he came in to buy 2 more for himself, but his buddy had him buy him one, too. He's like, I can't keep getting outfished that bad.
No, got to say, love you, Inglewood. Thank you for the business and the friendship. The Inglewood Fishing Club, if you're listening and you are going to, and you're living in the Inglewood area, Rotunda, or if you're just going to come down and visit, the Inglewood Fishing Club meets the second Thursday of each month, and even if you're just coming down to visit, go and stop by. They're in that Rotunda Center, and you go in by the Truly Nolan, you go over the bridge, you make the left on Rotunda Circle, you go around it, and then you'll see a little park on your left and an entrance on the right-hand side there. You just go up in there, and you're in that big building, and super really nice, wonderful people, and just go to the meeting and say, hey, Fish and Frank told me I should show up at the meeting and, you know, check it out, because I think you'll enjoy it. Really nice bunch of people. If you're really hardcore into fishing, you'll find a few guys there. If you really just like going out and kind of relaxing and not a big hardcore fisherman, you're going to find people there as well. I mean, it's just a little bit of everything there.
Yeah.
You know, just you'll find somebody that you enjoy talking to.
Absolutely.
The West Wall.
A lot of snook and a lot of redfish over on it this past week. It's been some high water all week, so a lot of those guys have been saying those fish have been way up under the bushes. But if you get a bait up underneath there, whether it's a shrimp or a white bait or a paddle tail, they've been doing pretty well. And the further south you go, the little bit better it is. A couple guys skipped some pompano on the bar, but did not land any of them.
All right. Kind of remember where we're at.
One of those phrases, no matter how you say it.
No matter how you say it, yeah.
We're so, guy, girl, oh.
Yeah, oh, how do you
need
do
a
that?
Tip?
Yeah, okay.
No, we were, you stick that in the slot.
We were just talking, one of our... The guys who used to work here, he called me up, had a bunch of questions about stuff, and then one of the people that is working here, we had to put a new battery, and I had to explain to her that I stuck it in her drawers, and I don't care how you say that.
Yep, there's no
good way to say it, you know?
Yep.
So, anyway, we were talking about the West Wall before we had to take a pause, and that the redfish and snook are way up under the mangroves on the southern end, and you said something about pompano.
Yeah, they've been skipping a few pompano on top of the bar. They're not catching them, but they're at least seeing a few up there, and this little cold snap might help kind of fire some of them up, so it's worth keeping an eye out.
Okay. Cape Hayes, what's going on down there?
A lot of bonnet heads on it. There's been some Spanish mackerel all around, some ladyfish, still catching a couple bluefish and some jacks mixed in there also. And then there's a lot of those bigger snooker and a few redfish hanging out closer to the shoreline there between Muddy Bay and Turtle Bay. And I guess inside Muddy Bay right there has some pretty good snook in it also. You know, that whole area is so full of life right now. Little pinfish are starting to show up on it, along with the scattered whitebait and glass minnows. So, it's pretty lively.
Cool. So, that's going to take us into Bull and Turtle Bay?
No, the redfish and snook are pretty much the main topic for everybody in there. Drifting over some of the sand holes, casting up along the bushes, some of the deeper troughs. They're starting to see a few more trout popping up. Bonnet heads have been in there, along with an occasional black tip and a moderate-sized bull in the 5 or 6 foot range. And then guys are starting to see a couple of flounder along the front between turtle and bull, or turtle to devilfish, really, along that big sand flat. They haven't caught any, but they said as they've been drifting along, either looking for bait or snook and reds, they're seeing a couple flounder scooting off.
Okay.
I like this time of year with the beautiful, clear water. Especially with this cool weather will help kill some of the surface algae and make it even clearer for a couple days.
Well, to me, it's, you know, we get guys that come down, they want to do their fly rods. I'm like, put the fly rod in the boat, but take out a spinning rod or a bait caster, throw some lures, find your fish, and then drag out the fly rod.
Right.
And I would say that still holds true right now, but you can actually sight fish with a fly rod at this point.
Yeah.
So you can get out with that fly rod, you can sight cast that stuff, you can have a real good time with that. But if you're planning on just blind casting with a fly rod, you know, there's a name for that. It kind of reminds you of a 16-year-old boy in the bathroom, you know, because, you know, it's just, no. You know,
yeah.
There's a time and a place for every rod. And if you're really into fishing, you use a bait caster to throw top waters, jerk baits, spoons. You use a spinning rod to throw your jigs, your crankbaits, your other stuff. You use a fly rod to throw flies. And you adjust what type of rod and reel you're using to catch the most fish. Because a real angler is worried about the catching end of it, not how you're catching the end of it.
Right.
Sometimes it's bait, sometimes it's lures, sometimes it's this, sometimes it's that. The more you're willing to change and adapt and use the right tackle for the right stuff, the more you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But if this is how you fish, well, then you obviously don't care how you catch.
Right.
Now, to me, is the simple truth of it. I, you know, you would think that there would be, you know, a better, more, I don't know, profound explanation. But if you care about how you catch, you're not going to be that, you know, throw a fly rod when it's appropriate, throw a spinning rod, or throw a bait caster, or a cane pole.
Right.
How many times have we seen where we're out, we're doing bluegills or shell crackers or a lot of these fish, where you take a cane pole, you put your line on it, you set the cane pole down in the water, because that's the way you're going to catch that fish.
Absolutely.
You know, it's kind of crazy how people get ideas that this, I'm do this, so I'm a real fisherman. No, you're not. You are not. You're just pompous. I only use this type of a rod and reel or that type of rod and reel. Well, I use all three, so I'm starting. I'm sorry, but I'm going to catch way more fish than you are.
A lot more versatile.
Yeah, you know, if you're a one-trick pony, that's what... This is the only, I only use bait cast reels, I only use spinning, I only use fly rods, because I'm a, you're a what? I don't get it. Doesn't make any sense.
Absolutely.
You're a caster of one form or another, but you're not an angler, you're not a catcher, you're just a caster. So, what the heck? Oh, no, I think that's this phone. I just started this phone back up. Okay. Too many darn phones. All right, Cape Hayes Danger Reef.
Some Spanish mackerel have been all around it. A lot of bait fish. There's been some ladyfish. Some mangrove snappers started to move back onto it. And then there has been a couple of small sharks in the immediate area around it. So they're doing pretty decent. You know, the Spanish have been fair size too, from 14 inches up to 18 inches. I haven't heard of any of the giant ones like we were a couple weeks ago, but still 15 to 18 inch mangrove or Spanish is a pretty nice one.
Yeah, no, Spanish are. It's another one, you know, that people are finding out that it's actually a good fish. Just don't keep many and eat them the same day. And which is, you know, I would have to say a really good idea for all fish. You know, have one or two. What the heck is that? Okay, something weird popped up my computer screen. As always. All right. It's just kind of funny that, you know, and I'm not trying to insult anybody. If this is your favorite way to fish, well, God bless you, go do it. But what we try to do is help people catch as many fish as possible, have the most fun possible. And if your idea, I guess, of, you know, having fun is to throw a certain type of rod and reel, I guess it's all right.
Yeah, more power to them.
Yeah, I mean, if that's what makes you happy. So let's move into Gasparilla Sound.
Oh, from devilfish all the way over to catfish, there's snook, redfish, a few trout, some ladyfish and jacks, and it's almost a mirror image straight across over from the Three Sisters all the way up to Uncle Henry's. All those little coves and stuff on the backside of Boca Grande have got some nice snook in them, a few redfish. There's bait throughout the whole area, and I've heard of a couple of juvenile tarpon over there around the Three Sisters, and talking like the little 10 to 50 pounders.
Cool. So Placida Pier,
a couple guys picked up a couple of sheep's head off of there the other day. Not very many, but they said they at least caught some, and they've been trying for the last 2 weeks with minimal success, so they were excited to see that starting to light up a little bit. Been some Spanish mackerel, some snook in the evening, been still a couple of sharks being caught off there in the evening, and the occasional bluefish. So kind of a mixed variety of stuff. I haven't heard much about snapper or pompano over there like the last couple of weeks.
Okay, Lemon Bay.
Really pretty darn good.
Lemon Bay's picking up, huh?
Yeah, there's been a lot.
What about, I heard that all the fish were dead and the red tide had killed it.
Nope, it's been patchy, and a couple of the patches have been a little strong, so it's killed a few fish. But it's,
yeah, might as well get this over with. Something I was wondering about, which I honestly don't know, we had really nice rains. And if the water was calm and still, we know that fresh water would float at the surface.
Correct.
It doesn't mix into the salt water immediately.
Right.
It wants to actually lay on the surface.
Yeah, just like oil.
So with that in mind, we know the only thing that's guaranteed to kill red tide is fresh water.
Yeah.
Do you think that, you know, if it's windy, it's not going to work because the red tide will be in the water as well as on the water. But if it was calm and we had a nice rain, wouldn't it kill a lot of red tide?
Yeah, I think it would definitely put a dent in it, without a doubt.
You know, the reason why if it's windy it won't work, because when it's still, the red tide floats right at the surface.
Yeah.
And it wants to blow the pollen through the air. The pollen is not distributed through the water as much as it is through the air. And the pollen is the part that makes you cough and kills fish. So to me, if it started raining before the wind picked up, but it's usually just the opposite. Once the wind picks up, the waves start stirring that red tide up and will mix it down into the water itself, making the rain less likely to kill it.
Right.
But if it was a, you know, like an afternoon shower without rain, you know, not like this front.
Right.
That should really put a dent in it.
Those first batches of rain that came through were fairly calm with the wind. You know, it was a light breeze, but they weren't gusting. It was the ones that came through last night and early this morning had some pretty good gusts behind it. So I would think that that first little batch that came through would at least, I think, dull it down maybe a little bit more.
Anything in the floating on the surface, when once that rain hit, it should knock it right out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, it was just a random, you know, I get those thoughts in my head.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to do with them, so I sit and talk to you about them.
No, I like the thought. It's a good idea. And I believe that it would definitely put a dent in it. It may not full-blown total it, but I believe it would knock it down. And then you get the combination of the cooler air with that wind mixing it in might slow down the growth rate, because it is a type of algae, so the cooler water will help slow down that growth. And so I think you get kind of the mixture of both of stunting it, and damaging it.
Because I was trying to think, why would a storm or a hurricane, okay, to break it up, dissipate it all over with the bigger waves, but I was also wondering, with the massive, I mean, we get 2, 3, 6 inches of rain in an hour sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering if that has an effect that we never really calculated into why tropical storms and stuff would actually knock down the red tide. You know, we've always thought about the wind and waves breaking it up, dissipating it, making it, you know, just disperse itself.
Right.
I was wondering if the actual rainwater itself doesn't have something to do with it. You know, obviously a combination of both.
Right. Yeah, I think so. I think you're onto something there.
So, okay, well, I'm sorry. You listen to these fishing reports. I go off on tangents, and I know I shouldn't because people complain about it a lot. But when I get a thought in my head, and then I think about it, if I can talk about it, we can, you know, it makes me sleep, too, because otherwise I got all this stuff rattling around in there. God, what a mess it is in there. Okay, Lemon Bay, what's fishing like?
Snook and redfish are doing fairly well throughout the whole thing, both out on the flats, under the mangroves, up on the docks along the mainland side. You know, been getting some pretty consistent reports on them. A couple guys have been catching some pompano, a few whiting, and some jacks, especially as they get closer to Stump Pass. But that red tide has moved in and out, little patches, so... But guys are still catching fish from the beach there at Stump Pass Park, Inglewood Beach, Middle Beach. I mean, the whole area through there. Talking to the girl at the where they rent the paddle boards right there at Stump Pass Park, she said it did stay right there in Ski Alley all day, pretty much on Monday. But it wasn't bad, but it stayed around all day. And out on the beach side, she said it was fine. But right there inside the intercoastal, she said every time she'd send her customers out across there, they'd talk about their coughing, so she started sending them out on the beach side. No problems at all.
Which really goes to show you, if you listen to the show and actually pay attention to a lot of little rants and the weird stuff we talk about, you are going to understand more stuff.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we don't understand everything in its entirety. But the truth is never way to the left or way to the right. It's always somewhere in the middle. And it's finding out where these little things are that becomes a big deal.
Absolutely.
And the truth is you can have red tide that's only 100 feet across or 10 feet across, or it can cover hundreds of miles.
Right.
So when you hear about stuff like red tide, it's not a game changer. It could just be simply a little game delayer.
Right.
You know, and it might only be for that spot, and you go over here and everything's fine, you go back over there, it's not, or it's not there, you went here, it's fine, then all of a sudden it moves in on you there, but you went back to where you were and everything's fine.
Yeah.
You got people that are catching fish in 2 feet of water coughing from red tide.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of it. The hard thing is, if you believe the nightly news or social media, they just want everything to be catastrophic.
Absolutely.
if it's not horrible, ending the world, everything's going to hell in a handbasket, it's not, you know. So anyway, but the pier there, Anger Pier, Tom Adams Bridge.
They've been getting some snook at night, a few juvenile tarpon, but the daytime has picked up just a little bit more. They got a couple of sheep's head off of there this week, a few Spanish mackerel, a couple of small bonnethead sharks. A couple guys caught some tiny whiting, but they said they were so tiny that they were better off using them for bait, and that's what they ended up doing. You know, and then there has been some jacks sporadically out there. But overall, the fishing has definitely started to pick up a little bit there. We always seem to get more night reports than we do day reports.
Mm-hmm. Well, you remember when we were actually from 6 at night till midnight, we were actually busier than we were during the day?
Yeah.
And then they put in the slot limit on the snook, and they started doing all the shark regulations, and it just doesn't pay to be open at night anymore.
Right.
There's just a few places and a few people now night fishing.
Right.
But I can remember when it was, you know, people 50, would leave 50. And go out, and yeah, there was actually as many or more people fishing at night than there was during the day.
Yeah.
I mean, so taking us into Venice and the Venice jetties, I always think, when I think of night fishing, I think about the canals up there in Venice and all the lights and the bridges. And,
yeah,
you know, there's so many cool places to go in Venice.
Absolutely. The snooker picking up up there at the Albi Bridge and at night mostly. And then the jetties has had, you know, a couple sporadic moments of red tide, but they've still been getting some Spanish mackerel, a couple of mangrove snapper, a couple snook. Been a couple of big bull reds that have been caught there in the early mornings, and some guys are starting to see some sheep's head moving around on the rocks, so they're doing pretty fair there. Get down towards Casperson's Beach, because I haven't heard anything off of Sharkies at all. There's still the same situation going on down there, a few snook, some whiting. The catfish bite, I guess, was really good on Monday, so one gentleman said after his third catfish he packed it up and left. So, but that's been pretty decent all along through there. You just got to be prepared to move, because in the morning there's a little red tide at the jetty, and then in the afternoon, perfectly fine with plenty of fish.
Or
vice versa, yeah, whatever.
I mean, the morning might be all screwed up, and yeah, they might be fine. You don't know. Best way to do it is go out there and check it out. And I think you brought up one of the best things. Just because things smell bad doesn't mean there's a red tide there. We have so many people that are just absolutely certain this is positive. They've never been in red tide in their life, and they walk down to the beach, or they go out on a boat, and they smell dead fish. Oh, the red tide is so bad here.
Or just a low tide, and they smell all that methane.
Yeah, you got seaweed dying on the beach, you know, some shells and stuff like that. You smell this bad smell, and oh, the red tide is horrible. No one, you know, we're not going to live through this. I'm like, no. If you're not coughing, it's a bad smell. But it doesn't mean it's red tide.
Right.
If your throat isn't ticklish, if your nose isn't bothering you, if you're not clearing your throat or coughing, it's not red tide.
Yeah.
It's just something nasty. And it's not uncommon when we get a lot of waves or wind, and it blows a lot of seaweed up on the beach, for you to walk down to the beach and smell the decaying marine life.
Right.
Which is pretty nasty sometimes.
It is, absolutely.
And just on a low tide, when the water drops, it releases the pressure from the bottom, and we get methane bubbling up. And methane is the same thing that comes out of the south end of a northbound pig. You know, it's mm-hmm. pretty nasty stuff. And they smell these things and go, oh, the red tide is so bad. I'm like, no, you're just not. What's wrong with you? You know?
They just make stuff up because they can.
Learn stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, when you learn life existence on social media, you're probably wrong.
Yeah.
All right. Gulf of Mexico.
It's been a little breezy, but several guys have gotten out, and even the weatherman lied with the wind, so yesterday was nice. We had several guys get out there and catch some red grouper at 25 and 30 miles. up to 26, 27 inches on the red grouper. They're getting some king mackerel out there from a mile off the beach to 15 miles out. The Spanish mackerel are kind of the same thing. They're from the passes to 20 miles out. Still a couple reports of bonita. They have been catching some triple tail out there on those channel mark or crab trap buoys. Going north or south, it just depends on the day or the moment. You know, one guy finds a bunch of them, another guy finds zero. So just gotta kind of be prepared to burn gas and have a good time. Troll while you're looking for triple tail.
I'm not going to do that. You can do that, but I won't do that. I get the boat up on plane, back it down, so I'm on plane, but not wallowing in the water. Because I want to, and you usually end up around 18 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Maybe a little more, maybe a little less, but around there. And then I'm just looking for triple tail.
Right.
Now, while I'm looking for triple tail, if I see a school of fish, then I'll stop and troll.
Gotcha.
But trolling along doing the triple tail, I don't know if you would cover enough ground to actually see triple tail. Because a lot of times it's a quarter mile, half mile in between fish. Sometimes they're on every third buoy. But if it's a little thin, you're only going 3 miles an hour trolling. So I'm not sure you would actually see. And I might be rather impatient. So some people can troll looking for triple tail, but
it depends on your situation, you know.
If I'm going out trolling, I like trolling past the buoys anyway, and I'll take shots at triple tail. But if I'm going triple tail fishing, I'm actually going triple tail fishing.
I can understand.
But I'm a little hardcore on the triple tail. So
it's because you're really good at it.
Well, I got to get Spatafora out there. Joe Spatafora, he has Community Ice Center up here. And not only is he a very good friend, he's probably one of the most intelligent people on the planet. I mean, if you're having eye stuff done, Joe Spatafora is the guy I want doing my eyes. In fact, no one else will ever touch my eyes as long as Joe's alive.
Me too.
But we've both been, you know, dealing with Joe for years.
I would rather,
I got to take him out triple tail fishing.
Well, and I would rather go to the dentist than the eye doctor. But with Joe, I will absolutely go to him. He's amazing. Trust him with every aspect.
Yeah, and he's realistic.
Oh, yeah.
The only thing I don't like is when I see him in the store here, you know, because Joe's a big fisherman and all that. He's really, you know, if you got to have an eye doctor, you might as well have something in common with him.
Right.
But he looks in your eyes. He can tell your blood pressure, if you're healthy, if you're feeling good. He literally knows everything about you. So when I'm talking to Joe, I always step back a little bit. I look the other way. I'm looking in there because I still, you know, do nicotine. And, you know, I don't live an exactly healthy lifestyle.
Yeah, we're pillars of health. What are you kidding?
Yeah, right. You know, all I can say is, from my age, I'm doing better than some and worse than others. I got guys that come in here, I swear, 90, and they're younger than me.
Yeah.
And I got other guys that come in, I swear, are younger than me, and they're like 80 years old. So
better
than some, worse than others. That's all you can hope for anyway.
Absolutely.
So buck or grand pass?
Spanish mackerel, a couple oddball king mackerel, some jacks, and some bluefish. And then the sheep's head started to move in along the surf over there, along with mangrove snapper. Out in the middle of the pass and on the southern end of the pass. And then there has been a few tarpon in there also. So those have been either really exciting hookups or frustrating hookups for some of the people that have been out there.
All right, here's the thing I'm going to say is, this reminds me of a couple Decembers ago. It was 80 degrees in December. Bograin Pass was full of tarpon. We had a cold spell hit. They disappeared.
Like literally overnight.
And the thing is, a tarpon can easily swim 10 miles an hour. And you only sleep 6-8 hours a day. So that leaves 18 hours, 16 hours, something like that, for them to swim. And if they're swimming at 10 miles an hour, that's 180 miles they can be away.
Yeah, they can be from here to past the Marquesas in a day.
Yeah, they can go from here to the Keys in a day, and then turn around if they want. They can be back up here the next day.
Yeah.
And so when you're wondering, where could they possibly go? Oh, my gosh, they could go a long ways.
Yeah. That's,
you know, I call it calculator logic. It's like I get these people in that, you know, the phosphate mine and this and that, and they're all, they hate them. I said, well, do you like to eat?
Yeah.
There's 330 million people in the United States. So that if everybody eats twice a day, that's 660 million meals a day. If you eat three times a day, it's like 990 million meals every day, 365 days a year. That's a lot of food.
A whole lot of food.
You think they're going to raise that in backyard chickens and free-range pigs?
Nope.
I don't think so. And we need fertilizer to do it. The problem that people have is they shouldn't be fighting against phosphate mining and against this and against that. They should be fighting for them to do it more responsibly.
Exactly.
Because they could do it way better than they're doing it. They're trying to get away cheap. And we need a lot of these stuff. We need all those farms south of Okeechobee to provide all kinds of food, from rice and tomatoes and sugar and all these other things. But do it more responsibly. That's all. You know, don't tell people, don't mine fertilizer. We need it to eat. And I like to eat. I enjoy my food. But they should be complaining to do it more responsibly. That's why I don't get involved in a lot of these protests and stuff. Because I hate you. You're not allowed to do that. Well, they need to do that. But they need to do it better. Right. That's the truth of it. It's like I say, folks, the truth is not on the far left or the far right. The truth is in the middle somewhere. And the truth of the matter is, we need companies like Mosaic to provide, you know, fertilizer so we can grow crops and have lunch or breakfast or dinner or a snack. But they need to do it more responsibly. That's it. That's all it would take. Just a little more responsible actions. So, absolutely. Anyway, Captiva Pass.
Captiva Pass is about a mirror image of Boca Grande Pass. There's Spanish mackerel, some mangrove snapper. I heard of one gag grouper that was caught out of there the other day. A couple small sharks. And then, of course, you know, a couple sheep's head being seen swimming along the surf line there. And some whiting being seen but not being caught. You know, so it's got a lot of life all around it. The bait has been amazing all over the place. So people just keep ranting and raving about that with all the fish that they're seeing swimming through the schools of bait fish.
Yeah, we're going to do a show about what to do when you see, if you're fishing on the flats, and we'll just give you a very quick version of it, but when you're fishing on the flats and you see a ton of bait fish around you, that's when you leave.
Right.
You don't want to be there. If you see schools and schools of bait, millions of pieces of bait, white bait and thread fins and, you know, glass minnows and all this amazing bait out there, and you're not seeing fish eat them, why would the one you put in the hook entice one to bite?
Right.
They're literally covered in it. They're swimming by their mouth.
Right.
When I see a lot of bait on the flats, that's time for me to get out. It's time for me to leave. I want to go somewhere where the fish are actually biting.
Right.
Now, if I see bait and I see a lot of fish biting and stuff, obviously I'm going to stay. But I can't tell you how many times the guys tell me, oh, we were fishing on the flat, and it was covered in bait fish, and we didn't catch anything. It was all that bait there, we didn't catch anything. And I'm like, well, that's your first clue. If it's covered in bait, and nothing's eating the bait, all right, move. You know, take down your mailbox.
Exactly. I was just going to say, you know, you put up a mailbox, okay, I guess you're staying, but whatever. And you just need to move and go find them somewhere else.
Yeah, the Publisher's Clearinghouse is going to have to find you at the next place.
Yeah, exactly.
So, all right, 17th Street?
Nothing.
Middle Beach?
Some whiting, some jacks, a couple of snook, a couple of incidental Spanish mackerel. Guy saw a flounder there while he was fishing there, and then a couple of pompano over the past week up there. So it's decent. But moving around a lot, sitting stationary there is not going to get you a lot. You just kind of got to walk the beach.
Sanibel?
Honestly, I've got nothing down there.
Lachey?
Oh, let's see. Redfish are scattered all over the place down there, along the bushes, right at the mouths of the Cape Coral canals, out on the flats. I mean, they're just a lot of scattered redfish and snook throughout the whole area. And then off the actual Mat Lachey Bridge, some mangrove snappers started to pick up. A couple sheep's head were caught. A couple of snook were caught. One guy said he saw a couple of juvenile tarpon first thing in the morning right at sunrise when he got out there the other day. You know, it's pretty lively down there. The only thing I'm not hearing about much of is trout, and if I do hear about them, most of them have been on the small side.
Actually, 14 to 18 inches out in Pine Island Sound, our next one. I was going to tell you about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a couple customers I was chatting with, and they were just telling me how they were whacking the trout over there.
Really?
And some really nice size ones, 14 to 18 inches.
Nice. You know,
some of them over 20. But
well, there you go.
They were doing, you know, more. They were actually big enough where they were having fun with them.
Okay.
All right, Pine Island Sound.
Trout like you're talking about, but the snook and redfish have been doing extremely well from Captiva Rocks all the way up to Boquilla. Just fish those deeper sand holes.
Hang on just a minute. Well, let's move along and get over to Jug Creek Shoals, Boquilla.
Well, Spanish mackerel have been scattered throughout that whole area. There's been a couple of small sharks, black tips, and bonnet heads. There's also been a couple of pompanos sighted with guys running through looking for bait. Other than that, kind of quiet.
Okay. And burnt store two pines.
Pretty good. Redfish and snook are starting to pick up pretty good along the mangroves and out to the sandbar. And then the pompanos started to pick up a little bit with some good-sized ladyfish. And then down closer to two pines, they've been getting a few more trout, but still mostly on the smaller side. But the snook have gotten a little bit bigger down there. You know, so it's pretty decent. Danny's been fishing down there quite a bit in that whole area, and some of the snook that he's been posting have been pretty impressive lately. And he's catching both on artificials and white bait.
Okay.
A couple guys were supposed to go wade fishing there the other day, but I never did hear back from them. With as clear as it is, I think it'd be kind of fun.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take us over to the east side.
From Pirate Harbor all the way up to Alligator Creek. They've been getting some jacks. Along the mangroves, the redfish and the snook are peppered all the way up to Alligator Creek. They have hooked a couple of pompano right there at Pirate Harbor, inside Pirate Harbor Channel. And then a lot of bonnet heads out front. And the bonnet heads seem to be real patchy, where it's one here, one here, a few there. And they're all the way up to Alligator Creek, too.
All right. And Alligator Creek.
Some jacks. Some mangrove snapper. A couple of black drum. And the snook are starting to move in there a little bit more, but not a ton. Still okay. Been a little warm for them.
Okay, sorry, my keyboard quit.
Jay, when that happens, it's not the fingers, it's the keyboard. The jacks have been pretty decent size, from like 4 pounds to 8 pounds. A couple guys have been catching them on topwaters and having a field day.
Boy, my keyboard quit, then my fingers shorted out.
Bzz.
Okay, Ponce de Leon Park.
Black drum, some snook. There's been a few sheep's head being seen. A couple guys have been catching a couple smaller ones. And then the jacks have been moving in and out of there pretty good. There's been some mullet moving through in pretty good numbers because they're all getting ready to do their little pre-spawn kind of let's get together and hang out mode. So a lot of guys seeing schools coming and going through the whole mouth there.
Okay, PGI canals.
Snook under the docks. Most of them are the smaller resident fish. Lots of juvenile tarpon and snook sitting on all the lights inside. Still been a few black drum cruising around, a few juvenile tarpon here and there. And that's about it. It's been quiet on the mangrove snapper side.
Okay, Gilcrest Pier.
Got nothing over there.
Alligator Creek Reef.
The reef itself started to pick up a little bit. Spanish mackerel have been scattered across the whole thing. And then the mangrove snapper is starting to pick up a little bit more. And a couple guys caught a couple sheep's head off of it also. One guy got like a 16, I think he said. He's either 15 or 16 inch sheep's head. He said the other ones were a little bit smaller, but he said that one was fat.
Okay. Alright. Too many crickets. Alright, got that done. The deep holes in the harbor.
Scattered Spanish mackerel. There has been a few tarpon in the holes, especially the middle hole and the Pirate Harbor hole. Most of the guys are just seeing them and not able to catch them. I don't know what their deal is, but they've at least been seeing them. And then there's also been a couple of small black tips to decent-sized black tips in there also.
Okay. Freshwater fishing?
Bass. Bass has been really lit up this week, and especially today. But a lot of guys are buying shiners. Handful of guys are back to buying a hodgepodge of soft plastics. Still been selling a couple of topwater lures for them. But the shiner fishing has been pretty darn good. And they're fishing all the Northport, Port Charlotte canals. Even out there at the Webb. They've been doing pretty fair out there on bass. The crappie should be cooperating if you can find them. But, you know, that's always a tough one when the water temperature is a little warm.
Yeah, it's still a little early to be checking out those.
Yeah.
All right, hang on just a second.
Just that full moon tends to sometimes light them up for some reason, regardless of the water temp, which is confusing to me, you know.
But well, they've got the, the biological thing where, you know, okay, I'm full of eggs, I'm ready to go. So I think sometimes, regardless of what happens, any red dots for tarpon?
No.
Yellow dots?
On the holes and the pass.
Okay. Anywhere else you can think of?
Not really.
Nothing Sanibel, Captiva, north, south?
Nope. They're seeing them more than they are anything else, and the juveniles have been at, you know, the 40 or at 75. Been real sporadic commenting on them, but not catching them.
Gotcha. All right. Get this in. Any things you can think of?
No, I think that's pretty good. I mean, fishing has been incredible. I mean, I don't know what today's going to do or the next 2 days are going to do with the cold fronts coming back to back like this, but they're calling for mid-80s by the end of next week, so I don't know if it's going to change significantly other than getting the fish to probably feed a little bit heavier than...
I can honestly say that it's supposed to be in the 80s, one day in the 70s, so we're going to see some difference in the tarpon, but in the snook and all that, but I don't think it's going to be major. I think we're just going to see an increase in the fish biting.
Right.
Increase in the fish activity more than anything. I don't think there's going to be a dramatic exodus of anything, because the days are going to be warmer and then the nights are going to be colder. So it's just going to, I think, produce a nice mild water temperatures. I think the water is going to be in the 70s. I don't believe it's going to drop to the 60s. I think we're in a nice 70-some degree water with a lot of fish and a lot of action on the fish.
Which is really cool because it's already been pretty darn good. So to take it from pretty darn good to amazing is, you know.
Right.
How do you get better than that, you know?
And I actually think that's what it's going to do. It's going to go from good, very good, into almost amazing. But I don't think we're going to see the slowdown in the fish or, you know, these fish leaving and these fish staying here. I just, I'm not seeing that.
No. I think you're right.
All right. So, anyway, I guess that should just about do it. Don't you think?
I think so.
Yeah, we got a little guitar music, a little relaxing, and, you know, I got to get a new board in here so we can get the sound back better, get everything more under control. So, outside of that, just a little more work to do, a little more things to do, but we're getting back on schedule. Life is kind of settling down to it's whatever it is.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. Fish and Frank here, Robert in the chair across from me, and we'll talk to you with one of the next shows. Somewhere, somehow, someplace in time, space. So, all right. I guess I can push the button and end this.
Probably.
All right. Bye.